Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the weekly Thursday morning edition of The Household Express, a program dedicated to all your homemaking needs. I am Sister Amara, joined by my co-host, Anshihapa Surti, and we're delighted to be in your company up to 11 a.m. this morning. Assalamu alaikum, Anshihapa. How are you keeping?
Wa alaikum salam, alhamdulillah. And hope to hear the same from all the listeners after all we've been through and celebrated Bakri Eid with all the problems we've had.
Yes, you know, the only thing we can do is carry on making dua, matla grant us ease and strength. Ameen.
Ameen.
And we have a hope to keeping well, warm, and safe as well. And I say warm because we had a very cold, cold couple of days just after Bakri Eid. But alhamdulillah, the day is really warming up a bit now.
It is warming up. Jazakallah.
Ameen. Well, listeners, here's what you can look forward to in today's program. Our topic of discussion in the first segment is food planners. Then in the second segment, we talk about the importance of a good kitchen knife. And there's two lovely recipes you can look forward to is chicken ciabatta roll and a steak and chips express recipe. So there's two lovely recipes coming up later on in the program. Now, the next question we're asking you is, that is, how do you decide on what to cook every day? I think that's a dilemma for every woman out there. You can WhatsApp us on 072-786-1548. Now, the age-old question of what to cook could be the very reason we as females age sooner. Anything, something, whatever, is the usual response that we get when we ask family members what they would like. If only it was that easy. Now, between dinner and school lunches, the constant battle is one that never ends. 365 days a year, we as ladies have to come up with ideas and planners to ensure that each family member is happy. Today, we chat to Sister Faiza, who will share with us the art of planning, and she's on the Instagram page at Coffee Cups and Crayons. Assalamu alaikum, Faiza. Jazakallah khair for joining us on today's program.
Alaikum salam, Sister Amata. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, you Faiza, and shukran for taking your time, the time out to join us from your rather very busy schedule.
I know, it's such a big pleasure.
I mean, always welcome, Faiza. Faiza, an educator, a business owner, your days are extremely busy. Why did you choose to come out with weekly meal planners, and how does this help you time-wise?
Well, Sister Amara, like you said, because our days are so busy, I find that I have to be organized in order to achieve everything that needs to be done during the day. So before I started meal planning, just thinking about what to cook every day took up so much time. And let's face it, our families are not very helpful in this regard.
They usually say anything, or I don't know.
So planning my meals is 80% of the job done, in my opinion. So I feel like just get done so much quicker if I know what I'm doing.
It is true, yes. Mm-hmm. Now, does planning work with budget meal planning, and how?
See, for me, it works definitely because after I've planned my menu, I make a list of ingredients needed for that week. Then I quickly take stock of what I have in my fridge and freezer and my pantry, and I write down maybe what I don't have. So during my weekly shop, I only buy what is absolutely necessary. And then I can avoid buying things that I may not use during the week, or I can avoid impulse buys. So I think this habit has helped me cut down on my spending.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, if you plan, if you have a proper food planner for the whole week, you know, I think it's like basically less stress for us as well.
Gee, definitely. I mean, just walking around in the kitchen and thinking, what must I cook, will this one eat that? It really takes up so much time. And then you still have to think about defrosting the thing. Or sometimes you're halfway through cooking something and you realize, oh, but I'm short of this ingredient or that ingredient.
Yes, certainly. Yes. Now, Faiza, what are some of the key factors you take into consideration when planning lunch or dinner meals?
So definitely a balanced, healthy, nutritional diet is key.
Mm.
Keeping in mind what are your family's likes and dislikes or possible health issues. So I try to include salads, veggies, and healthy fats and oils, and just be mindful of how you prepare the meals. Also a big factor during the week is preparing meals that are quick. Hello, Faiza. Can you hear me, Faiza?
I hear you.
Okay, fine. I think it's a bit cracky the line, but nevertheless, we will continue. Mm-hmm.
No, that's it. Just, you know, preparing ahead meals that are quick and easy and convenient.
And of course, preparing like dinner meals, which you can, you know, use up for lunch the next day, like a leftover for lunch for the next day, you know?
Gee, like if you've made, you know, roast chicken or something, it can always be sandwiches or wraps, things like that. So that's why planning, I think, is so important. You can always take those factors into consideration.
Mm-hmm. I think if an idea, what should your dinner plan a meal this week? I know the week is almost over, but just more or less give us an idea.
Okay, so on Monday we had masala roast chicken with potatoes and roti.
Mm-hmm.
I usually prepare my Monday meals on Sunday already, so that's easier. On Tuesday we had butter chicken and roti, and for the kids they prefer rice, so I made some cashew rice for them to go with the butter chicken. And we had some broccoli on the side. On Wednesday, we had spinach and mushroom cannelloni.
Mm-hmm.
Today, we're having a lemon and herb baked fish with stir-fried veggies. And tomorrow, we were supposed to have mince palau, but my daughter said to me this morning, no, mommy, I want dal and rice. So tomorrow, it's dal and rice.
Okay. Lovely, lovely. So, you know, your meals sound so delicious and so different and so interesting as well. Yes, and we'd like to get you back on the show to tell you about a cashew rice recipe as well. That really sounds divine. Faiza, how can moms make lunch planning easier, considering that most will be back to school? I mean, most of the children are back to school already by this week, you know, if not then by next week, you know. So how can moms make lunch planning easier?
Mornings are such a rush, and it can be such a nightmare for, especially for working moms. So planning ahead is key. I like to prepare options for days when you just need something quick. And I prefer making things that can be baked and not fried. So I make things that my kids like, you know, make things that they will enjoy. So they like some meatball buns. I make mini pizzas, calzones, some crumb chicken strips. Also, I like to prepare chicken and steak filling, and then I pack them into portion sizes, little Ziploc bags before freezing it. So you can take that out the night before, and in the morning you can use it for sandwiches, on rye or seeded bread, in wraps, in pitas, or in tacos. And then just take out an hour during one hour. Cut up some veggies like carrots, cucumbers, and celery, and you can also cut up fruit and put that also in individual serving containers and put it in the fridge. And, you know, fruit like apples and things that can turn brown, what I usually do is I soak it in some salted water for about 20 minutes. Then you let it dry and you pack that away in containers as well, and it doesn't turn brown at all. So in the morning, it makes it so much easier to just grab some fruit and veggies and put it into the lunchbox. And then I add a main meal, like a sandwich or something.
Indeed, a nice lunchbox full with vitamins and minerals and a lovely meal, you know, to keep them full and also, you know, to help them concentrate with the nourishment from the fruits and veggies as well.
A diet, a healthy diet is so important in helping children to concentrate. Giving them foods that are, you know, processed, it definitely gives them a slump. They feel very lethargic.
Yes. Now, as a teacher, what are some of the big no for lunch, you know, for lunch? What did you say you wouldn't want moms to put into the children's lunch boxes for lunch, you know, like a do and a don't?
You know, high sugar and fatty foods, processed foods are definitely no-nos. Value. Convenient biscuits and crisps, sweets and cool drinks, but it gives the learners such a sugar high, and then they experience a slump just as quickly. It's high GI, it doesn't sustain them well enough during the day.
Mm-hmm. What are your, as a lot of health experts and nutritionists always advise to give a child maybe a boiled egg for lunch, which is so much of nutrition and vitamins in there as well, you know. What would you say to that? Do you also put a boiled egg in your kids' lunch boxes?
You know, a boiled egg is a very good lunch option. My kids personally don't like boiled eggs.
that's another dilemma on its own.
It's another dilemma, you know. It can be sometimes smelly if it has set out in the sun and that. So I don't put in boiled eggs. But eggs is a very good nutritional option.
Yes. And still staying with school lunches, have you planned your school lunch planner for next week, Faiza?
I actually have started. So I try to include cut fruit or vegetables every day in their lunchbox.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also try to add in either nuts or biltong, pretzels or yogurt along with their meal. And I try to avoid giving them lots of sauces like mayo and things. So instead, I prefer to use pesto or cream cheese, or I make a feta and yogurt whip. I use that instead on the bread. And water is definitely essential.
That is lovely. Yes. And to actually end off today's lovely interview with you, Faiza, can you share with us your lovely recipe that's easy and versatile for lunch? And it is, I can see it's really easy and versatile and yummy, not only for school lunches, but for just a snacker. It's like anytime tea time, it's a chicken ciabatta rolls recipe. So please go ahead and share the recipe with us.
Okay, chicken fillet is so versatile in my opinion. It can be dressed up in a numerous amount of ways.
Mm-hmm.
So I make, I prepare my fillet. I marinate it with lemon juice, olive oil, salt and pepper, garlic, green chilies, and an Italian grind. You find it in Woolies. I marinate the meat with that and I fry it in a nonstick pan. Mm-hmm. Then you lightly toast and butter the ciabatta rolls. I top it with lettuce and grilled pepper. For the grilled pepper, I deseed the pepper and put it on an open gas flame until the pepper is blackened and soft. Then you transfer it to a dish and cover with Glad wrap. You allow the pepper to sweat and then you peel the char grilled skin off. And the pepper is now sweet and really delicious. For the sauce, mix equal parts of basil pesto with double thick Greek yogurt. Spread on the ciabatta rolls, stack it up and enjoy.
Mm-hmm. You know, I love the idea of the grilled pepper onto an open gas flame, you know. A very different idea as well. And in this way, I think you can also do the same thing to the grilled red pepper. And you can actually even just like... put it into your into your liquidizer, you know.
Yeah.
And if you with some fresh cream, you were like making a red pepper chicken. It would be basically ideal. The taste, the aroma of that is really, really, absolutely yummy.
That's a brilliant idea, Sister Mara. Also, putting it in hummus gives the hummus a different flavor. You can also put it in cream cheese and have it with your crackers.
Oh, lovely. That is absolutely lovely. Just a lovely tangy taste indeed. Faiza, jazakallah khair for joining us on the Household Express on Radio Islam International and sharing with us some lovely ideas in the art of food planning as well. And please share with the listeners your Instagram page.
It's Faiza Lari, Coffee Cups and Crayons.
Okay, so listeners can follow Faiza on that Instagram page. It's Faiza Lari at Coffee Cups and Crayons. And you can see how Faiza has actually done her food planning. You can get some ideas in that way. Less stress, less dilemmas for the ladies out there now that children are going back to school. Faiza, jazakallah khair once again. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Well, that was Sister Faiza Lari. You can follow her on Cups. And let me just go back. Okay, Coffee Cups and Crayons. Let's go back again at Coffee Cups and Crayons. My apologies for that. And you can go on to the Instagram page. Well, let's go for a short bit coming up. We're going to be talking about a bit of food planning as well. And Java is going to be sharing with us some tips on that. And then we're also going to be telling you about the importance of a good kitchen knife. And we're asking you the question, ladies out there. Tell us, how do you decide or what to cook every day, you can WhatsApp us on 072-786-1548. Also, any of your baking, cooking questions or concerns, you're welcome to WhatsApp us once again, 072-786-1548. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. Well, assalamu alaikum Ajahava and welcome back.
Wa alaikum salam.
Well, and Jihama, we spoke about with Sister Faiza on food planning and that. And Jihama, give us some ideas of how would you plan a food planner?
Firstly, I don't like cooking in winter. Because winter, somehow, the food just don't come out right, especially the baking. When you're making cake and making icing, etc. It's not pleasant to work with. And the end result is not, you know, palatable. But food planning, well, as our guest speaker said, it depends on the family and what are their likes and dislikes. And you usually plan your meals around that, extending the meals to other use of ingredients so that you can please everybody. Because you don't want to make a meal and it will stand there on the table and nobody touches it. Mm. And when you are planning a meal, try to keep the five food groups in mind. Mm-hmm. Which include your veggies, your meats, your dairy, your carbs. If you keep that in mind and plan your meals around that, then you would have a successful meal each day. Because all these foods in the food groups have all the necessary vitamins, minerals, proteins, etc. So when you are planning, take these into consideration, whether it be a meat dish or a lentil dish, because there's also vegetable protein that we can use. Mm-hmm. And in winter, especially right now, we want meals that are warming, like warm soups, warm dal and rice. You want to feel the warm, because if you're going to make like fried chicken or roast chicken, it's a bit of a cold meal. Mm-hmm. I tried that last week and I wasn't very successful.
So, but I think, you want more things like gravy things, you know, like gravy sugar beans or a butter beans or a milk for that matter. And also, you know, taking into consideration, you know, some ideas also, like maybe a Monday, like over the weekend, you have a lot of meat and things. So you want to have like a meat-free Monday or a veg. Or a milk or a dal or a sugar bean. And then choose maybe vegetables, pastas, maybe rice. Don't only have rice like once a week, you know. And then chicken, steak, fish, and your Indian veggies, you know. Don't forget to include the Indian vegetables as well.
Indian vegetables, very nice to include in your meal. But then, unfortunately, the young people of today, not very fond of it. Mm. They may like one or two of the veggies. But if you're going to use a variety of Indian vegetables, you will find that they keep away from it. Mm. Especially like binda and karela and things like that. They will not want to eat it because they'll have some comment about it.
I know the binda is a bit sticky and things like that.
And the karela is butter again.
And then I suppose you have your fussy ones in the home as well. And like their own likes and dislikes. So we have to take that into consideration as well.
Yes.
You know, each one's preferences as well.
Yes.
And, you know, I must say the perpetual dilemma for every woman, what do I cook today? Now, every one of us has often stood in front of the fridge, freezer or pantry wondering, what do I cook for lunch or dinner today? Or we take out our recipe book or we go onto the Radio Star website where you will find lots of
and recipes. Pick out recipes, yes.
And you think, now, what do I cook? And you still can't sometimes, you know, find out what do I cook. Especially in winter, like you say, we must take out the meat or the chickens the night before or the day before defrost, you know. Mm-hmm. Or we're soaking up something or what. So I think a food planner is a good idea as well.
Mm-hmm. It is a good idea because then it also helps you plan to buy the ingredients you need and you don't buy unnecessary stuff that stands on your shelves.
Correct, yes.
Yeah.
And, the question from the listeners out there, tell us how do you decide to cook how do you decide on what to cook every day? You can WhatsApp us on 072-786-1548. And Jay, I want to talk about the importance of a good kitchen knife. Now, I think the most important tool in a kitchen is a knife, because without it, you cannot complete any kind of work. You will need a sharp knife to complete any type of dish. Because with a sharp knife, you can cut and peel any food. Also, sharp knives will make your work faster and safer as well.
And safer. All right. Taking knives into consideration, it is the most important tool because it cuts up large chunks of meat, etc., into smaller pieces, which you can put or add into a saucepan so that your meal is bite-sized, because you don't really want to eat big chunks of meat, etc. When you take the knives into consideration, there are at least 13 different types of knives that can be used in one kitchen.
And this is true that Auntie Hava.
Yeah. And this knives are usually for those that are professionals, the chefs, right? But basically for the normal home executive, you will find up to 3 to 5 knives are sufficient. Yes. You've got to have a paring knife, which is a small knife, to cut vegetables and to peel fruit, etc. And then you've got to have one nice cook's knife, which is quite large, with a blade at least 8 to 10 centimeters long. Mm-hmm. That you use for chopping up your onions or chopping up the meat or chopping up the carrots, etc. Mm-hmm. It must be nice and sharp. The blade must be made of good material, good strong material. They even make plastic knives today. And then, of course, you have the electric knife, which makes life so much easier. When you're choosing your knife, you've got to take your physique into consideration. If you're a petite person, you would choose a small knife. Don't choose a large knife because it will be tiring on the hand. When you are holding a knife, you must be able to grip it quite securely or firm in your hand so that the actions that you make with the hand, the cutting action or the chopping action, are direct and you will not hurt yourself. So when you are choosing a knife, make sure that the handle is large enough and it's got a good grip. Sometimes the knives do have a rubber coating so that when you're holding it, it is quite firm and it sticks to your hand. Okay. These knives that you buy, you must take careful consideration when buying or purchasing a knife. It's because knives can range from 6 rand up to about 100 rand, 200 rand, depending on what you are looking for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you take the handle, for example, it must be sturdy. And when you hold it in your hand, if you place the knife on your index finger, and if you keep your hand sideways and balance the knife on your hand, it should balance quite well, because then that is a good knife. If it falls off to one side on the handle side or on the blade side, you will must remember that knife is not balanced well and it can hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
If you take a knife when you're purchasing a knife, it must also be one that is easy to clean, one that will not rust or change color when using it to cut up vegetables, etc. Mm-hmm. There are various types of knives that one uses. Example, a utility knife or a cook's knife, which can be used for chopping, for shredding, for slicing, and also for stamping up or mashing up the garlic. Then you have the cook's knife, which is also a fairly big knife or fairly large knife, which is used mainly for cutting up meat, fish, etc. You get a special fish knife, which we normally don't have in a kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Because today we are so fortunate. Example, if you go into a modern kitchen today, you may not even find a bread knife because the bread is already sliced.
Yes,
and if you go to the butcher, etc., your meat is already sliced up, or your fish is already clean and filleted and the skin is removed. So you don't need those kinds of knives in your kitchen. All you've got to do is just go to the regular shop or regular store and buy whatever you need. Mm-hmm. When you take a knife, for example, just 1 second. For example, if you're a professional, you do not share your knives because your knife is your personal asset because only you know how to use it. And only in the hands of a non-professional, a professional set of chef's knives would be of no value or no use. When you take knives into consideration, you've got to make sure that the blade is always sharp. You get proper knife sharpness on the market, which you can sharpen your knife. You can take your knife to the butcher shop and they will sharpen it for you. Especially Qurbani time. If you're doing Qurbani at home, then you have this set of knives that you keep that you'll use yearly. And when you need to sharpen them, those particular knives, you go to the butcher shop.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the knife, when you are using it, must be able, if possible, it must have a special storage place. Don't just throw it into your drawer, because sometimes you have, like most times, you put your hand in the drawer, you're really not looking.
Yes.
And if the knife is sharp enough, you can hurt yourself.
Mm.
And then, of course, if you've got little ones at home, like grandchildren, etc., they love to play with kitchen utensils. Mm-hmm. And they're also always cooking up something for themselves. So there, too, you've got to be careful when you've got young people or little ones in the kitchen when you are working with your knives.
Yes. And, Java, you know, they say knives used in the kitchen have their signs, you know. And mm-hmm. the knives designed to be used in a specific way, like hardened steel knives are better because they hold the sharp edge of the blade longer.
Yes.
But you have to choose between hard carbon steel and soft stainless steel. Although stainless steel is a mirage due to moisture, modern technology has made carbon stainless steel tougher and corrosion resistant.
Yes. I had that on my notes, but I forgot to
And I think also, you know, when you're using your knife, a knife needs not only good steel, but also a comfortable handle. You know, that you're comfortable, like you said, how to use a knife, how to have a grip on the knife, you know. Like,
yes.
For instance, like, just like cooks who are just, those who are just beginning to learn in the kitchen, and some of them don't, like, just take the onion and take a chopping board, and they use a knife to chop it up like that, you know. Or some of them don't want to use a knife, which put into a chopper as well. But, like, for experienced cooks, like, we'll just take the onion, and we'll take the knife and we'll just start freehand, chop it up freehand, because you're so experienced in that, you know, Auntie Ava?
Yes, that comes with time. Otherwise, the modern cook, the very modern cook, will get a food processor.
Oh, yes.
And that makes it cutting the onion quite quick. Onion, carrot, cabbage, etc. And that makes it quite quick.
Yes, certainly. And also, Auntie Ava, like you said, you know, you get different types of knives as well. And I think taking care of your knife is also important. Share some tips on how to take care of your knife, how to wash it.
Okay, when you're cleaning up your knives, right, especially if it's got something stuck on it, like, for example, taking a knife after you've cut up some meat or chicken, right, have a little bit of warm, soapy water and give it a good wash. Make sure you do not forget the handle. Wash the handle quite well, rinse it in warm water, and place it on a cloth to dry out. Or if you can, you have these special cups or jugs that you have when you put them into the dishwasher.
Mm-hmm.
So you place your knife in there, right, to dry out. And when you are washing your knife, you must make sure that the sharp edge is away from you, because you've got to be careful of your fingers. Sometimes when the knife is too sharp, then you can hurt yourself quite badly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So be careful when you're washing the knife. And the best way to do it is with warm, soapy water.
Yes, certainly. And, you know, I think we always have mishaps in the kitchen, like kitchen injuries. So I think the first thing when you get cut, you know, always try and press that finger or wherever you got cut, try and hold, put pressure on it.
Yeah, pressure on there, and then, of course, you can sort out. It must not, hopefully it's not too deep, because sometimes you've got to apply the pressure and make sure that afterwards you've cleaned, after you've cleaned up the wound, that you apply pressure or plaster on it again so that it does, it, to stop the bleeding.
Mm-hmm. Yes, certainly. And, well, the listener is asking, what Indian vegetables are available now?
Well, I've seen papri around. I've seen binda. I've seen cauliflower, brinjal or eggplant.
Brinjal, yes. Drumstick. They call it hectani. That's also available.
Drumstick. Mm-hmm. And those are some of the vegetables around at the moment.
Okay. Brinjal, I think they are around whole year through. And I've seen binda also, they're around whole year through as well.
We are so fortunate, Sister Amara, that these things are also imported.
Yes.
So we are able to pick up these things at not all of stores, but at most of the Indian stores.
They actually have it frozen into packets. You can actually buy it frozen, mm-hmm. and you can just defrost it or rinse it out in warm water and then, you know, cook it however you, your way, how you want to cook it as well.
Yes.
Okay. Listeners asking, last week's recipes is not on the website. Last week, the listeners, was a repeat program because of Eid and things like that. So last week's program was a repeat program. Okay, let's go for a short break now. When we come back, I'm going to be sharing with you a steak and chips express recipe. And this is one of the recipes by Marhuma Auntie Karija Ibrahim. So stay tuned for that coming up after the break. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back, Auntie Hawa.
Sister Amara, just one more point on a knife.
Okay.
I forgot to mention this. When purchasing a knife, try and get one that's got a sharp point to get into the heart to get places, especially when cutting meat and you're cutting out the fat. A knife with a rounded end won't help you.
Mm-hmm. So it's actually good to get different types of knives to suit your types of cooking as well. We said, like you get like a paring knife, then you get a chef's knife, a serrated knife, a sharp knife, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why I said earlier on in the program, 3 to 5 knives are enough for your work in the kitchen.
Absolutely, yes.
And a serrated knife is mainly for bread.
For bread, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be difficult to use a serrated knife to cut up meat, etc.
Mm-hmm. And I think when you're using, you need a very sharp knife for vegetables, for your chicken and your meat and your steaks and things like that.
Mm-hmm. The paring knife is suitable for vegetables and fruit.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's usually a small knife. It usually fits in your hand.
Yes.
That's how small it is. But it is very helpful because that too helps you to get into the heart to get places.
Yes. Okay.
And to dig out the eyes in the potatoes, etc.
Okay. Well, this is the thing. Just for interest sake, I found that the dishwasher makes a nice blunt. Just something I noticed, so I don't put my knives into the dishwasher, rather wash them myself in soapy water. Jazakallah mm-hmm. for sharing that tip, sister.
That's something I learned today.
I also learned today that, yes. Mm-hmm. It's always a good idea to actually have your own knife sharpener. So your knife, you feel your knife is a bit blunt, just sharpen it yourself.
Yeah, it is better. Because you don't know when you're going to have to sharpen a knife. And like Qurbani time, of course, you know, well, this is the time you have to sharpen those special knives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, let's go to our recipe. Today's recipe is a steak and chips express recipe. And this is one of Marhuma Auntie Karija Ibrahim's favorite recipes. Do remember her and all the Marhumins in your duas. Ameen. What you will require for this recipe is 1/2 kilo of rump steak cut into strips. Again, you're going to be needing a nice sharp knife for this. So 1/2 kilo of rump steak cut into strips. Then you marinate the steak with 1 teaspoon of each of the following spices. Salt, black pepper, steak and chop spice, barbecue spice, mustard powder, lemon juice, garlic flakes, garlic salt, and dry ginger. So it's 1/2 kilo of rump steak cut into strips. Marinate with 1 teaspoon of each of the following
salt, black pepper, steak and chop spice, barbecue spice, mustard powder, lemon juice, garlic flakes, garlic salt, and dry ginger. You warm ghee and oil in a pot and add above ingredients with steak and cook until halfway done. Then you cube one large onion, one large tomato, and one large green pepper. Add the steak and cook till veggies are cooked. Lastly, add 2 tablespoons each of chili garlic sauce, tomato sauce, crystal sauce, and Worcester sauce. Cook for a while and serve with potato chips. You spice your chips with salt, vinegar, and red chilies. Put chips at the bottom of the platter and steak on top of chips and serve with pitas. This is ideal, especially for weather, cold weather like this, for a lunch or a supper meal. It's actually very, very tasty indeed. And remind listeners that both recipes are on the Radio Star website. The Siabata Chicken Roll Steak and Chips Express recipe is on the Radio Star website. Go to radioslam.co.za. And if you don't have access to the internet, then call Sister Faiza 011-854-7022. She will clearly assist you. Okay, Adyava, here is one or two questions coming through.
Mm-hmm.
How do I know if cheese has gone bad?
Actually, it depends on how long you have kept it. Sometimes there's green mold on the cheese on the outside, especially on the cut edges. Mm-hmm. If you cut that away, then the cheese is fine.
That's fine.
Yeah. Okay. It may develop a smell.
Okay.
That will be after, like, you know, a couple of months.
All right.
But it's preferable if you buy cheese in large amounts is use up what you can for the week and freeze the others.
Okay, yes. And I think a good way to store cheese on Tihava is if you wrap the cheese, if your cheese is open, wrap it up in foil.
In foil, yeah.
In foil, and then cling wrap it. Cling wrap it tightly to last for a while in the fridge.
It will last for quite a while, yeah.
Okay. And then also, how do you know if the flour is gone bad, Auntie Hava?
It will change color.
A flour?
Interesting. Cake flour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it will change color. It will have a slight, like a beigey kind of tinge. And in the hot weather, it will have worms.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And what's the best way to store your flour in, Auntie Hava?
In a clean vessel with a good tight-fitting lid. And you can buy a 12.5 kg pack, and it should last you at least, depending on how much you use, of course, it should last you at least 1 to 1.5, 2 to 2 months.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it depends on how much
baking, etc. you do.
Bread, buns, rolls, rotis, puris, things like that, you know?
Yeah.
How much of that do you get? Okay, how do I stop pasta from clumping and sticking together?
Put a little bit of oil in the water, and you must salt the water well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Let's salt the water well.
Okay. Then with Kurbani finishing off last week, you can go onto my Instagram page, Amara_Mula. I did post some ideas on cooking a Kurbani meat, storing it as well, and how to get rid of the smell. Now, Anjava, you know, give me a minute or two before we actually wrap up this program. Like, if you're going to be throwing out your Kurbani meat, mm-hmm. and you still find you have that smell, is it a good idea to soak it in water with a bit of vinegar?
After you have thawed it, then you can soak it in a little bit of water and vinegar. Or you can use a little bit of bicarb in your water.
Right, okay.
Like last week, the lady said she felt it hard so to soak the liver in milk. Because of the people not having milk, etc.
Milk, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what I tried to do is I made a solution of bicarb and water, and I soaked the liver in that, and it turned out quite well.
Is that so? All right. Mm. Chisakala, for sharing that. Okay, I think we've come to the end of a very lovely, informative program, Auntie Hava.
indeed a lovely program. We spoke about food planning. We spoke about what to cook every day. We spoke about the knife, and a bit of cooking questions and concerns as well. So inshallah, that will do next week with a lovely program and a lovely topic as well, and indeed a lovely guest as well. And inshallah, you can join myself and Atihava again in next week's program. Atihava, jazakallahu khair, keep warm, keep safe, and keep
well. And you too.
Jazakallahu khair.
And to all our listeners.
Jazakallah so much, Adjihava. Well, I must thank my producer, Mumtaz, for getting all the lovely guests and, you know, putting this whole program together as well. The fact that you, the listeners, have sent us the lovely, all your kind messages, your message of concern and support as well. And to my engineer, Ziyad, as well. Inshallah, that will see you next week. From me, Amara and Adjihava. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.